Welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched the show. I'm Mike Dervell, and I've seen none of Battlestar Galactica.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I've seen none of Battlestar Galactica.
I'm special guest star Jennifer Newman, and I have seen every episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Wow! Hi!
Hi!
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Yay. You were on our last episode.
You were on the Lost episode.
But the episode did come out. It's just that it was about the show Lost.
We're on the same page, it came out.
But it wasn't Lost. Yeah. It was about Lost.
Right. Yes. Awesome. It was about the Lost.
Yeah. And mystery boxes and Jabrams.
Yeah. So I'm back to talk about another show that I love.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been good. The pandemic is slowly easing as we record this. So that's kind of hopeful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been surprising that it's still a mental adjustment to things going back to quote unquote normal.
Yes.
But I'm getting there. It's the summer. I get to go outside and hang out with friends. So I'm happy about that. I'm doing okay.
You are full vax and we are half vax.
Ooh, which vaccines did you get?
I am a fully fledged member of House Pfizer at this point.
Oh, interesting. So, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm only one shot so far, but I am House Moderna over here.
Uh-huh.
I think that makes us bitter enemies. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think you're allowed to hang out anymore. So
yeah, I don't think so.
No,
either.
I feel like we need to unite against the incoming horde of COVID that's coming from the north.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
We've got to come together. Yeah. Got to overcome our differences.
Love it. Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? What house are you?
I'm also Pfizer or half Pfizer, so.
Yeah.
You're
outnumbered.
Damn it.
So what do you guys know about Battlestar Galactica? And I want to also qualify that there are two Battlestar Galacticas. There is the original, I think it's 1978 series, and then there is the series from the 2000s, which is the one we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's new information to me because I know basically nothing about this show. I think there's a character called Star something, but I don't know if a bunch of pop culture is just going in my brain. So I'm like, is it Star Burns? No. Is it Star Lord? No. It's Star something, but I'm not too sure what that last part is.
Yeah.
Either of those characters in Battlestar Galactica I would watch that. I would be really interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I just assumed that they were in there, but that's okay. Okay. I'll cross that out of my notes already.
Yeah, you got it half right. It's Star, but it's Starbuck.
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 Yeah.
Like the coffee. Gotcha.
And yeah, I've actually never Googled. I've just realized I've never Googled if there is a connection between Starbuck and the coffee. Or was that just a happy accident?
Oh, we'll Google that on the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I need to look up when Starbucks coffee was founded and when the original Battlestar Galactica came out. So,
right. Oh, also this Nylon.
Cylon?
Yes. Cylon. Okay, cool. I had it and then I missed and then I doubted myself. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. So Cylons are either robots or aliens or alien robots.
Or alien robot people.
Yeah. So
they look like people.
Here's what my understanding of the Cylon thing is that it was a cost cutting measure to make so they didn't have to have like expensive aliens or anything. Or expensive robots. That was my understanding. And they were not in the original Battlestar Galactica series and are kind of become like this really big thing in the new show.
Again, we'll talk about this afterwards.
Yes. The other thing is that I know about is the board game is a very, very popular board game. And a lot of conversation I've heard around this is around the board game specifically.
Oh.
Which is there's a Cylon character who's like a hidden role and people don't know who the Cylon is and they're trying to root them out from there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's considerably like in the top 10 or 20 on Board Game Geek, I think. So.
Okay, so it's kind of almost a bit like Secret Hitler or Coup.
Yeah, something like that. But there's,
Okay, I don't think I've ever played the board game. I didn't know that a board game existed, so that is good to know, and I will have to look into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Awesome.
Okay. So that is all, you know. Okay, I am really excited to see what you make of this, because this final episode is a doozy. And you have not watched any of the four seasons or the mini series or the webisodes they did as well. So, okay.
I feel like I'm going to be confused.
Yeah. I feel like I know a lot about Battlestar Galactica, but in reality, I know almost nothing. It just feels because I hear a lot about it, but that's the extent of my knowledge already. So it doesn't sound like a lot of knowledge, and it also doesn't sound right. So,
yeah, this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited to be confused.
Okay,
let's do this.
Okay,
let's do this, baby.
Well, we're going to watch the last episode of Battlestar Galactica. If you want to watch along at home, it's available to stream Prime Video in Canada, and we'll be right back. We're back. We battle-starred all the Galacticas. Ooh. Melanie, what do you think?
I have so many questions. I've said it multiple times. I said it before we started recording. What the heck was that? I don't even know where to start. I guess just the true ending, and then there's the epilogue or whatever afterwards. But Why was there a guy in a pool?
Yeah.
Why did the people put their hands in the pool?
That just seems like a very inefficient way to transport data.
Is that what that was?
Is that future internet works?
Yeah, pretty much. That's future internet liquid to allow you to connect if you are a Cylon.
Oh, is he a Cylon?
Yes.
The guy in the pool?
All of those four people who are standing around the pool are Cylons.
Whoa.
And the guy in the pool who Starbuck was in love with, he's a Cylon too.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Okay, so wait,
what is a Cylon? Let's start there.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay, so a Cylon, Cylons look just like humans now.
But they didn't in the original series?
Yes. So this is why people, I don't know if, I can't remember if they did this in this episode, but they refer to them as Fracken Toasters. and there are, so in the 1978 series, Cylons, I believe there was a lawsuit, but Cylons kind of looked like metallic shiny stormtroopers, if I can say that.
Yes, I can actually picture what a Cylon looks like.
Yeah, and it had the red light that would go back and forth, and those were Cylons. So when they did this reimagining in the 2000s of Battlestar Galactica, there was Cylons like that, but then there was evolved Cylons who basically fully looked human.
Gotcha.
But could be stronger. And the whole thing about a Cylon was that if they died, their consciousness was kind of backed up to the Cylon system, and they just
popped out again.
Popped into a new body. They just downloaded into a new body.
Gotcha.
And kept going.
They were kept in the cloud.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And so, there's the Cylons who are kind of like robots, and then they evolved into these human type Cylon people. And then there was a whole thing throughout the series, because when they look like humans, how do you tell who's a Cylon and who's a human?
Right.
So there's this whole thing of sleeper agents. And then there was people who didn't know they were Cylons. So those five people that we saw, the guy in the bathtub, Anders, mm-hmm. and the four people standing around him, they were called the Final Five. And it was a big thing in the kind of final season of trying to determine who are these final Cylons, because we'd seen seven other models and pop up throughout all four seasons. And even in this episode, you see them.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know who this final five were, and they didn't even know until a certain point.
Gotcha.
Final five, meaning that the other ones are all dead?
No.
They're just part of the finale.
Yeah. Basically that there's eight models of Cylon, and in different points throughout the series, you can end there's you end up in locations where there's multiples of the same actor, actress. And that's like, oh, it's all, it's a room of number sixes. It's a room of number eights. Oh,
that's why they refer to them in numbers.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha. So they had numbers, but then some of them had names throughout the series as well. But then, so they were like the kind of eight models that they did an upgrade of. But then these final five are slightly different because
they're like the most secretive.
They're the most secretive, and they actually are not evolved from the same place as the other eight Cylons and the robots that are Toaster.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. Cool. 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 I have a big question. Mm-hmm. Why did that guy freak out and start killing everybody?
Yeah, that seemed like a very, like, maybe we should explain the scene first.
There was a bathtub
and we're like, okay, we're going to do the internet thing now. And then they stake all their hands.
The resurrection, I think is what they called it.
Oh, the resurrection. Yes. They all stick their hands in the bathtub, and then we see a lot of flashbacks from a lot of like they seem to imply beforehand that they were all going to see each other's memories.
Yes,
but then they all sort of start to see memories, and then there was the thing about her releasing someone out of an airlock. It looks like, and then he started strangling her.
Yeah. So this is Chief Galen is the one that strangled Tori, I think her name was. And yes, because basically, I can't remember if it was this season or the previous season, where the woman and child in the airlock were his wife and his child.
Oh my God.
And his wife was having a hard time. And basically what Tori did was Tori took the kid and then basically murdered Callie. But everyone thought that Callie had killed herself, that she was struggling, and he, you know, was like, how could I have not seen my wife was struggling?
Okay.
So he's learned for the very first time that Tori, who he's standing beside, murdered his wife.
Okay.
And then lied about it and covered it up.
Okay.
So that is why he just goes berserk, breaks the connection, and just kills her.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, when she's saying there are some things that we've done that we're not proud about, she's referring to that.
Yeah.
So that wasn't like a strategic move that like an evil side did. That was like a fully personal thing that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly why. I think she was, because Callie was quite emotional and was having a hard time. And then it's also that Cylons are very fascinated with children of human and Cylons together because they consider it the next stage of evolution. So Hera, the kid you see at the end,
yeah,
who, like, she is, her mom is a Cylon, her dad is a human. So
right.
That's why they're going to rescue her. It's very important for both sides find, like, the kid is really important.
Okay. And so at this point in the finale, are the Cylons and the humans kind of working together then? Like, there's, who's the antagonist?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, it kind of gave you a bit of a recap at the start of the episode. It is also, the problem is that, like, their finale is actually three episodes long. It's an entire three episode thing. Oh, we watched the final piece.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so the piece that we saw is basically Battlestar Galactica jumped into this Cylon colony that's right on the edge of a black hole to rescue Hera, who is, like, mom is
Cylon,
dad's human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they are going in to get her back. And the Cylons are basically holding her hostage. And the entire reason is, I think it breaks down at one point that the Cylons don't have the resurrection technology anymore. And the final five do. Part of this reason, I'll explain it now, is that when we start with Battlestar Galactica, there are 12 colonies and they all have like constellation or astrology type names.
Yes.
And the Cylons and them fought, like, they created Cylons as a kind of robot slaves. And there was an uprising and a battle with the Cylons. And then they brokered a peace and there was peace for 4 years. And then the Cylons showed up and just nuked everything. Because the Cylons basically got Caprica 6, the blonde woman near the end, to kind of seduce Baltar, who we see at the end. And he was a scientist working on the defense network. So that whole thing at the end where he's like, I'm going to show you this, but like my head could be chopped off if everyone ever finds out. So he basically let the Cylons into the security system, and that's why.
So wait, that took place at the beginning of the series?
The very beginning of the series.
That was a flashback.
Okay. I see.
Okay, wait, can we just focus on those two characters for a second? Mm-hmm. Why were there even sexier versions of them?
So this is the thing, is that throughout the entire series, you have Baltar and you have Caprica 6. And it starts with Baltar, where he basically is hallucinating that really hot, like, lady in the red dress. Mm-hmm. And he can see her. They call her Head 6. And she's basically guiding him and telling him to do certain things. And like, he gets an MRI at one point to try and determine like what is going on, total clean bill of health. So it's never really fully explained why he sees her. And then when she reappears in Think season 2, because she gets downloaded, she has her own version, but it's Guy's Baltar and he's like Head Baltar. And like, it's the same thing. No one else can see them.
Gotcha.
But they're guiding the two of them. So that was them appearing at the end, like Gaius and Caprica are on Earth now. And they're kind of saying like, hey, job well done. You're done. Yeah,
we did it.
So what do you think that the deal is? Like, if you had to have an explanation.
So the in-show kind of thing is, because another part of this is you saw Starbuck,
yeah,
who's Kara with the blonde hair and Lee, and she just vanishes into thin air.
Yeah, that was an interesting moment.
Because Kara actually dies in season 3 and then mysteriously comes back and tells everyone she's been to Earth, and then at a point goes back to Earth and finds her dead body. So she's also kind of
a ghost.
Magic.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that there is a higher power guiding these people,
yeah,
to kind of manipulate or guide these people into making it happen that the humans end up on Earth. And it's humans on Earth 150,000 years ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's set in the long, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I did pick up on a lot of religious elements here. And then at the end, I did write, oh, so it wasn't the future, it's the past.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that clear to you watching the show before getting to the finale that it was in the past?
No, because that was another thing, like this final episode, you were like, oh, and it was literally in the news that they discovered that mitochondrial Eve. So it was kind of very timely at the time.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, your brain automatically is like sci-fi, all of this stuff. Yes, this is in the future. And then it was the whole thing of the entire thing for the 4 seasons was they were seeking Earth.
Right.
It was like Earth was the lost colony. It was the 13th colony that we had to find. And the way that it was found, like, we have to go back through myths and legends, or like the Cylons might know and we have to get there. And then they do get to Earth, the 13th colony. But this is where when they're talking about cycles and it all happening again and we have to break the cycle. So I'd said at the start, there's the 12 colonies, Cylons disappear for 40 years, come back, blow them all up, or trying to exterminate humans. And now they look like humans. The reason they do is that the Cylons, the toaster models, which are all chrome and red and everything, and rig robots, got discovered by the final 5. And it turns out that the final 5 are Cylons, or kind of humans from Earth, where on that planet that they are calling Earth, the same thing happened where, what happened was that there was robots. This has all happened before, and the Cylons went off and made a planet and basically became more biological and started having children biologically and kind of didn't reproduce the way they were. And then basically they made robots to make their life easier. And those robots rebelled and turned on them.
Oh, my God.
But there was these 5 final scientists who had just been like researching how to do resurrection. And they managed to save themselves and then come back, because they were the 13th colony, come back to the 12 colonies to find, oh, crap, the same thing's happening again. Okay, we got to stop these robots from, like, how do we? And they were like, oh, we could make you look more human and we could give you resurrection if you just stop attacking the humans. So they went. So they went away and they helped them make the other 8 human models of Cylons and gave them resurrection technology and everything, and then I guess decided to just disappear and go sleeper agent in the human population. I can't remember exactly, mm-hmm. but that's the whole thing. At the end, they're all sticking their hands in the bathtub because it turns out each one of them only has a part of the resurrection protocol or algorithm or computation. And so they all have to commune together to come together to get the resurrection piece, to give it to the Cylon so they can do that again. And that's why it all goes completely mental when...
Okay. That's a lot. That's a lot. There's a lot of lore here. I love it.
There's a lot of lore. There's a lot of circular lore, a lot of sort of commentary in the lore. It's just a really rich lore.
So wait, what is the resurrection though?
So that's basically where I was saying that Cylons, and it, you can see it in that scene. So everything is going like haywire and all over the place. And the Cylons are upset because they're like, we will give you this child, but you have to give us resurrection because like it's been blown up or resurrection ships have been destroyed.
Oh, it's the cloud.
Yeah. So
it's the cloud that lets them pop out again.
We need the cloud thing so we can keep downloading ourselves because otherwise we die just like humans and we don't want that.
Okay. Yeah.
But then because Galen kills Tori, that is gone. That piece is lost forevermore. She's dead. It's gone.
Yeah.
So the Cylons will not get resurrection. They're now like, it's like, nope, this is it. You're just like humans.
That's why they started attacking the ship and that's why they jumped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they jumped. And as they're jumping, Starbuck, who is a lady now, I'm pretty sure man before.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Female power. In the old show, I'm pretty sure Starbuck was a guy.
Okay. Yeah, before we move on for a second. So is the show, just like a quick brief on like how this compares to the original show.
Okay. So this was the thing is I even before this version of Battlestar came out, I was a really big Battlestar Galactica fan. I have like the DVD of the 1978 show and everything. I've watched it. The original show was very much because it came out like literally a year after Star Wars.
And, oh, wow. OK.
Yeah. And it's really timely. And like the guy from Bonanza plays Commander Adama. Starbuck is played by Dirk Benedict, like Face from the A-Team.
Okay.
Oh. And then there is a character, I don't think he showed up in this episode, but he was in it, like this guy called Tom Zarek in this new edition. And he was Apollo in the original 1978 series. So it was kind of a whole callback to having him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it kind of follows a lot of the original plot. So there's the 12 colonies in the 1978 version. The Cylons come in, bomb the crap out of them. Battlestar Galactica is the last kind of warship left and it's guiding a crew and they're trying to find the 13th colony Earth. And the Cylons, they're more a kind of classical bad guy. I think Baltar is actually their leader, if I remember correctly. Jane Seymour is in Battlestar Galactica 1978 as well as Apollo's love interest. There's a little kid called Boxy and there's a little robot dog that's kind of cute as well. Mm-hmm. But then the reimagining like in 2004, like twisted this a lot. So Starbuck, they cast as a woman and there was a lot of uproar from like fans of the classic show of like, how dare they? And yeah, people were not happy about it. Mm-hmm. I think she was excellent. Mm-hmm. She did an excellent job of updating Starbuck for modern times. I don't think Dirk Benedict was happy about it.
Right.
But then the whole Cylons looking like humans thing, that was brand new. That like they were just robots in the first series.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was a whole new, and that was kind of a play. Basically, because it was 2004 to 2009, I think this, like, I've read some articles that have talked about how this version of Battlestar Galactica is playing with the ideas and how to process, because this is in the wake of 9/11.
Yeah.
And Muslims in your community and you know, your enemy can basically look just like you and live with you and be your friend. Ooh. And then you can have terrorism happen. So how do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, they were kind of playing with all of those different ideas. Hmm. And then this was also filmed differently. Like this was filmed documentary style. So it's very kind of up close and shaky and in person. Whereas the 1978 is, it's very standard TV of the time.
Right. So did the original Battlestar Galactica have this sort of similar twist at the very end of the series of like, this actually took place in the past?
No, it did not.
Oh, interesting.
Battlestar Galactica ended up running into this thing called, I think it was Battlestar Galactica 1980. And they got to our version of Earth. And I didn't watch this one as much. I think Starbuck was in it for a bit. Maybe Apollo was too. But they essentially rode like hover motorbikes, if I remember correctly. Oh, okay. And it was like them literally in 1980s America. It was very weird. Right. So yeah, this ending, completely unique to this series.
Okay, interesting. So did this surprise you, this ending?
Did it surprise me? A little bit. I mean, again, I have mixed feelings about this ending. It was kind of, I don't know, like, it's kind of a bit like it was all a dream. And, right. You know, I was in the shower. Like, the ending, I wasn't happy, and I'm still not happy with how it ended for some of the characters. Like, the whole, like, Lee going, yeah, you know what? We're just going to, like, let's fly these ships into the sun. We don't need technology. And I'm like, yes, yes, you do. You need antibiotics. You need modern medicine.
Yeah.
Like, you could use these materials and repurpose them for habitat. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
No. And then, yeah, so it just kind of felt a bit like, oh, and then Anders flies the whole fleet into the sun. Okay. And then even the whole fact that everyone separates out. So General Adama flies off with Roslyn to be on his own. And I'm like, your son is also on his own now. Like, you could be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a thing.
That's too much responsibility to be a father at this point in his life, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, weren't they all white? They're supposed to be like all the foundations of these different civilizations, and they're all white.
Yeah, there was a lot of different races. But yes, the people that we're seeing on screen are predominantly white.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which is, again, you can read interesting things into that, like the fact that Tori is kind of looks East Indian heritage and she gets killed by a white guy. Like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, we have this benefit of looking back on this stuff with the lens we have now, whereas at the time that mightn't have been something that stood out as much.
Right.
Right. Right. For sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, it is also really interesting that you're like, okay, so they're settling in Africa. And they're going to make modern humans? Okay. Yeah, like, I remember the whole, like, when they did that transition from, like, ancient African times to modern day New York. And I was like, wait, really? Really?
Yeah.
And then the Baltaran guys, like, the Baltaran and Caprica 6 we see are the, like, the mind, the head versions.
The sexy ones, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like the angels, if you want to. It's what one character calls them. So
yeah, well, yeah, that's kind of the theme I was getting from them. They're like angels or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's making the whole thing of like, here we go again, robots. Like,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Well, we just completely derailed off the main thread, so let's get back to that.
Oh, I okay. Starbuck. Mm-hmm. Starbuck, when she's told to jump. Mm-hmm. She just inputs random numbers?
No. Okay.
No. So. Okay. I saw Hera with like the picture and whatever, but I was like, those aren't numbers. So like, what's going on here?
I saw she was doing music things, and then she's like, maybe the numbers, maybe the music notes are numbers, and then she was seemed to be transposing.
Like, who gave her the numbers? Was it like all by chance, or was it a message from somebody?
Yeah. So this is kind of the whole thing. So like, Starbuck dies at one point.
Yes, season 3.
And disappears, and everyone's like, Starbuck is dead. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. And then she mysteriously reappears in a Viper in space, and you're like, wait, what? But as far as I remember, she starts kind of having dreams and hallucinations. So it's dreaming back to playing the piano with her father, and it's this melody she can't get out of her head. And that melody is what they played at the end all along the Watchtower.
Mm-hmm.
And because this was this whole mystery for a while of like, who are the final five? So like, there are five people who are Cylons in amongst the fleet. Who is it? And this was a mystery of, you're like, is it Adama? Is it this? Is it him? And then it all became revealed, I think, because all five of them started hearing this song all along the Watchtower. And then Hera's drawing kind of the musical annotation for it. Mm. And so that is what Starbuck put in, right? Because this song was driving her crazy. And like they flash back to her saying, I've assigned numbers to the notes to see if that makes any sense. So the idea is that in her moment of need, the song has been telling her all along what the coordinates to Earth are.
Right.
And that's what she inputs.
Nice. Very spiritual. I like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. That clears up a lot.
And then how did... But it doesn't explain how Jimi Hendrix... Wait, Jimi Hendrix didn't even do the original one, right? It was a cover.
I don't know, but I just remember it was that song and they chose that song and everyone was like, okay, so does that mean that song's like 150,000 years old? It's just one of those songs that like in ancestral memory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And then so she inputs the numbers, they jump and they end up at this new Earth that has and like a bunch of stuff happens between that where... There's a flashback with, I'm guessing, her love interest, or was it Lee?
Yeah, so the flashback, I think, was with Lee. So the entire deal with Lee and Starbuck have an on-again, off-again thing, and I still ship them.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Starbuck was actually married to Anders, the guy in the bathtub.
Uh-huh.
They were married at one point, and I think they separated, but, like, that's why she loves him, but she also loves Lee.
Right.
But the reason she knows Lee is because she was actually dating his brother, Zach. And Zach and Lee are Adama's sons.
Yes. Yeah, I picked up on that, yeah.
And so at the very start of the season, there's a whole lot of tension because Zach dies.
Ooh.
In a horrific accident with vipers, and like Lee is kind of estranged from his father, and Starbuck is kind of close with Adama because, you know, she was close with Zach and the connection with her son. So the flashback is to her the first time she met Lee, and her and Zach had him over for dinner, and then Zach passes out cold, and then her and Lee start doing shots, and then she dares Lee to sleep with her.
Yes, as one does,
because that's Starbuck.
Yeah.
Starbuck is just, and yeah, so the whole thing is like, they've always been attracted and connected to each other.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Okay, cool. I wasn't clear whether it was Anders or Lee.
Yeah, it was Lee with shorter hair.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. But he has long hair now to show that time has passed. cool. And then there's also the flashback with Adama where they actually ask him, oh, I guess that's like way later. I'm so lost. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Sorry, if we could just jump back to a different flashback. There's a flashback where the guy who's sleeping on the couch wakes up and there's a pigeon there. And then the pigeon stares at him and then flies away.
That's way later, Mike. We're not there yet.
As far as I remember, it's meant to be that, like, that was Starbuck checking on him, I guess. I don't fully remember. I remember it seeing and I'm like, oh, there was something about this pigeon.
Yes.
I think it's meant to be symbolized Starbuck leaving his life.
But it was later. It's way later. Why are you jumping right now?
Sorry.
Pigeon. Yeah. Okay, let's jump to the pigeon. I liked the pigeon. I liked how confused he looked at the pigeon. And I appreciate that when the pigeon wanted to leave, because I will tell you that pigeons are not the brightest, it just went out the door. And so, I was like, that's a pretty well-trained pigeon.
So Melanie, are you saying that this pigeon made good acting choices?
The pigeon choosing to go out of the door? A++ acting, I'm just saying. Like, wow, what a talented pigeon. Okay, so they've now reached the planet.
Yes, it's very clearly Earth. We could see Africa on the planet. Yeah, you could see the moon.
Yeah, and they go and they see, like, what do they call them? Pre-verbal humans.
Yes.
And then the scientist guy is like, we can reproduce with them. And so that's like a good sign or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I want to know who did that.
I know. That was the thing. I was like, isn't that somewhat problematic? Like, you're saying these are tribal pre-verbal people.
You're just like, stay away from them. Let them live their lives, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the insinuation is that they do, because like they towards the end when they say like Hera is basically mitochondrial Eve, so she's the only one that any trace of exists in the historical record. The rest of them just died out and they're gone. And I guess that's why they flew the ships into the sun, because they were like, oh, if we leave these ships, people are like, that kind of poke, people could poke, start poking holes in it. And I'm like, yeah, they could start poking holes in it if you do that, like, yes, they can poke holes at any point.
It's interesting. It's an interesting finale for sure. Lee starts to, they start talking about like building cities and like, you know, kind of making all these homes. And they're like, and then Lee is like, no, we need to break the cycle and not have cities.
And that was, I mean, watching that this time, even I was like, that's too easy. Like, you say you have like what, 38,000, 39,000 people. I was like, not everyone is going to agree to this.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be people who are going to go like, okay, you guys do this, but we're going to keep a spaceship and we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be people who are like, no, I'm not leaving everyone else. We're all staying together and we're going to build a town here. Like,
yeah, it's like, but here's the thing though. They covered that base by having a meeting where they were like, everyone's cool with this.
It's taken 6 months of negotiation, but we finally got there.
Yeah, everyone's fine with this happening. It's all cool.
Because I know if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, no, thank you. No. I would still like my medicine and like ability to make fire easily and like clothes and do you not watched like the primitive YouTube guy, like how hard it is to make all of this stuff?
Yeah, it would take months to build a pool if we were to do this by hand, you know. Okay, and then Lee and Adama, is that his name?
Adama.
So they're walking together and they're arm in arm. And I didn't know that they were father and son yet. So I was like, oh, this is really sweet. I hope they like kiss a little bit or whatever. Then it turns out that it's the son. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just recoil that back in my body. At the meeting, Lampkin... honestly, not a lot of names came up this episode. And I'm guessing it's because it's the finale to a very long running series.
Yeah.
Lampkin was clearly the cynic of the bunch, but eventually he agrees to this, all of these changes as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to destroy the ships. Okay. Yeah. And then this is where in my notes, I was like, who's the pool guy? Cause I think that's when Starbuck was like putting her hand in the water.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that was like, oh, I hope I'm a Cylon right now.
Or I guess she was just because I think he was in a horrible accident, was in a coma, and it looked like he was going to die. And then I think they were like, oh, we could put him in this goo that the Cylons have that they put people in when they're resurrecting, and it can kind of stabilize them. And then I think they had like used the goo or painted the goo on things in Galactica. And then it was suddenly like, he's communicating with the ship. He can control it at any time. So he's like connected to the ship and all the ship's systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's and why then, he's the one who's going to drive the ship into the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha. I actually have a quote from this approximate moment when we're going up to the helicopter thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a helicopter because it doesn't
have... It's a raptor.
Raptor, thank you. The guy says, what do you hear, Starbuck? And then she says, nothing but the rain. And then he says, grab your gun and bring in the cat.
Yeah, I think that was a callback to something they would say to each other throughout the season.
Right.
Because, like, you know, she kind of looked at him like a father figure, and he kind of thought of her as a daughter because, again, connection to son who died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of family for him, even though, like, she can be a pain in the ass and hot-headed and, like, jump off on things. So it's kind of like them saying, like, I love you. I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
It's their thing.
Yeah.
But was there a cat? That's the part that I wanted to know.
I can't remember. I'm going to have to actually Google it. But I remember it was a thing that they said to each other, like, a good few times throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Was it grab your gun and let in the cat?
Yeah.
Isn't bring it in a the ship? Cat. Wouldn't that be a ship? Or something?
Mm.
But maybe it was a literal cat. But also, I'm excited about the cat situation. That's all I'm saying.
No,
you're so excited. You're skipping a bunch of stuff again, Michael.
Am I?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, it's just a greeting that they they say to each other?
Well, I feel cheated.
I'm gonna say bring in the cat from now on.
Yeah.
Bringing home the cat.
And then people are like, you like Battlestar Galactica? They're like, I liked the last episode. It was great.
Yes. Well, that was the thing. Like, the other thing that came into common lexicon because of Battlestar Galactica was fracking.
Yes.
Fracking came from this show because they didn't want to use the F word, but you could say fracking. And fracking is just, it's kind of a similar sounding, similar mm-hmm. satisfaction of saying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of sci-fi shows tend to make, like, words up to mean fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great, because I know Farscape did it too, but I can't, for the life of me, remember what the word was.
Frel?
Frel.
Frel, yeah.
Frel. Frel.
Yeah.
Because it's still trying to hit those, like, lizard brain points in your head that are like, yeah, like, that's just as satisfying to say.
You're saying frack, but I know exactly what you're really saying. Kind of idea.
Yeah.
Nice.
So just to give you a bit more backstory on Anders, bathtub guy, as we're now calling him. Mm-hmm. So he was a pyramid player, which is kind of like a basketball, volleyball sport that they have in the colonies.
Oh, okay.
And Starbuck ended up meeting him because she went on a mission back to Caprica and he was stuck there. She was stuck there. She escaped and then kind of led a rescue mission to get him back. And then he became a Viper pilot. And then at one point they tried to settle on a planet. It didn't go well, but they were married then. And then I think they kind of broke up. So that was her whole thing of like saying goodbye to him because they have quite a long history together over series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like when he said, like, I'll see you on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's kind of foreshadowing like her disappearing when she's talking to Lee.
Right. Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
I picked up on the rich history between them and the fact that she loved him in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're back on Earth now. And Adama is with, I think, Roslyn is what her name was.
Yeah.
And she's not doing well already. So I feel like she could have used some medicine right away, but they threw it all into the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the point that I ended up crying again, watching this again. I'm like, can't help it. Because so Commander Adama is like head of the Galactica, head of the military force, kind of pulling everyone together. But Roslyn, I think she was like Minister of Education.
Yeah, and political player.
Yeah, and when all of the colonies got blown up and they're going down the chain of command, she suddenly ends up president.
Right.
So she becomes President Roslyn. And there was a whole tension between them of like military and civilian and who gets to say what. And he's trying to arrest her and she's saying no. And then they started having elections. But it was found out in the first season that she actually had breast cancer. And so she initially, it was like, you don't have very long to live. But then she started having visions of things and that kind of was helping them to lead on. And then there was a whole prophecy, which kind of gets fulfilled in this episode because there's a whole prophecy about essentially she fulfills a lot of the requirements of that prophetic figure. Mm-hmm. And one of them was she will lead them to the promised land, but she will not get to enjoy its bounty or something like that, which is the whole thing of they're flying over Africa and
chosen one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she ended up getting like they cured her using the kind of, I think it was the blood of Hera, like the Cylon human hybrid.
Yeah,
they found her blood had miraculous. And so at one point Roslyn was completely cured of cancer and it was like, sweet. And then, like, her and Adama kind of got together, and you were just like, it's so cute.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just say that part when she passes away, and then he holds her hand and then takes his ring off and puts it on her finger, I was just like, oh, that hit home. Oh, my God.
I totally was crying. It was just like, no, why can't they be happy? Same.
I don't even know who those people are. And I was crying.
It's kind of like they're like space mom and space dad. And they've spent 4 years pulling this fleet and these thousands of humans together and keeping them safe and like making sure everything goes okay. And I'm like, and they just can't retire. They just can't live happily ever after.
No. Yeah. They finally found Earth. And it's just.
Well, Earth is a dream, right?
Yeah.
It's an idea that they've been chasing.
And then it's just still annoys me that like he flies off and he's like, I'm never going to see him again. And I'm like, why?
Why? Could, like he has a ship he could visit.
But you could come back. Like you could be, t- you could like he's on his own grieving, like on a, you know, possibly hostile planet.
Yeah.
It just, I was like, no, human beings stay together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting choice to like to leave his son.
Yeah.
Especially after I understood that he was his son. Yeah.
And the thing is, they've had quite a tumultuous relationship. Like at the when Battlestar Galactica, this season or series starts, they're not talking to each other. They haven't talked to each other in years because I think Adama blames Lee in part for the death of his brother. And they're, you know, they're men. They can't communicate and talk about their feelings and process what they're going through. And so
right.
they kind of throughout the four seasons, like they fight, they don't fight. They do get on, they don't get on.
Right.
They have different ideas.
It would have been a nice ending to see them kind of like try to be a family, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also felt really annoyed at Starbucks that I'm like, okay, so you have just seen him say goodbye to his dad. And you're like, yep, you're never going to see dad again. He's on his own. And you're like, by the way, I'm out. Like, enjoy.
Yeah. And wispy yeah. too.
You know, I'm like, no, what are you doing? You make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
It's good to know that toxic masculinity was a thing 150,000 years in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. 150,000 years of stuff to undo, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, she passes away. He settles up on a mountain and then, yeah, Starbuck and Lee have a conversation and then she also disappears.
Yeah.
And then we go to the Hera and the mommy and daddy of Hera. Who were yeah. they actually the mommy and daddy or were they yes. the adoptive? Okay.
Yeah.
And which one was the Cylon?
The lady.
The woman.
The woman? Okay.
That was Athena. And basically, this is where it was in the first season that you suddenly realized that anyone could be a Cylon because, so mommy is a number six. And so when we open in the series, there's Boomer and Boomer flies with Starbuck and Apollo and stuff. And Boomer, like, you're like, yep, she's human. She's like, yeah, fracking Cylons. And, you know, she has no idea that she's a Cylon. And then she ends up shooting Adama in the chest a couple of times.
As one does. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, my God. But then Galen, so the guy who's limping along, who's daddy. So at the very start, him and Boomer fly to Earth, to Caprica, sorry, to see if there's any survivors left. And they manage to find all these people who are like, please take me. And they're like, we only have enough room on the Raptor. And Hilo spots Gaius Baltar in the crowd and is like, oh my God, it's Dr. Baltar. He's an infamous scientist. He could really help us. I'm going to stay behind here on Caprica. He can have my spot. And you're like, this is the guy that, like, no one knows that he's the one that let the Cylons do this. And so Hilo stays on Earth or Caprica. But in his investigation there, he comes across who he thinks is Boomer, but it's actually another number six. And that's mommy. And like, they end up, you know, hooking up and stuff. And she ends up pregnant. And then he discovers that she's a Cylon and he's obviously very, very upset.
Yes.
And then she ends up coming back to Galactica with him. And so it's this whole thing of like, she loves him. They have their baby. She wants to be accepted on Galactica. But of course, they're like, you're a fracking toaster. So there's this whole like trying to explore that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Boomer, I think, eventually does die and ends up being resurrected. And then her and the other Caprica end up changing the Cylon's mind on eradicating the humans completely. That they're like, that is not what God would want. Like, they're kind of the religious Cylons.
Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah. I was noticing that.
Yeah, totally.
There's a lot of God's plan and God loves you.
Yes.
And God wouldn't want us to do that.
Well, actually, not much else happens after that. We talk to, we see the sexier versions of the sexy people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like, your life's going to be boring now. And then it jumps to, what was it? 150,000 years in the future?
Yeah. So like present day New York.
Right, right. And, oh, you know, I had a point, but I lost it. I'm so sorry. This is a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And then they mention that isn't in God's plan. And the guy says he doesn't like to be called that.
You know, they or don't they, like to be
sorry,
called
that. They don't yes. like to be called that. My bad. So there is a higher power, but what it is exactly is up for debate, basically.
It's cloud storage, man.
Yeah.
It's cloud storage.
And basically, it's kind of like Ron Moore doing a J.J. Abrams of being like, you know, you can imagine, you can fill in what you think is happening there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, especially with Starbuck, like, because it was like Starbuck comes back and then just disappears into thin air. And you're like, but wait, why?
Right.
What?
Do you feel that they teased the box enough to actually like quench your thirst for that? Or
I think it felt like, I know that there was a lot of people who weren't necessarily impressed with this ending, because it does feel a bit like that, like it was all a dream. And then also just the religious overtones of it's God's plan all along and they were angels, and it's a bit like, does that really go with the kind of hard, gritty sci-fi we've been doing?
Yeah.
Like And I can understand, I mean, I get what they're going for with the cyclical thing and breaking the cycle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got to watch that. But yeah, I still am annoyed even rewatching it now. And I haven't watched the finale since I watched it in 2009. Still feeling annoyed at where it ended up for characters, because I was like, nope, they should still be together. Like it is really like, it's kind of almost like cutting your nose off to spite your face, that you're like, I'm going to be here alone on this planet.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that you might feel that way for a few weeks, maybe a few months, but after a year of the pouring rain and hunting, like, you're going to want your people.
Yeah. It just felt like more of a plot device to be like, and then they became humans. It's like, oh, see, they had to split up so that they would meet humans and then intermingle with the other, like, but it didn't make sense for the story. Right.
Yeah.
And like, because they could have totally done the Legend of Atlantis thing. They could have had them be that's where the myth came from. We're going to make a city and we're going to call it Atlantis. And that would have been okay. And there's no trace of them. There's never been any trace of Atlantis.
Yes. Like they were able to hide themselves kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could have done that.
Okay. So you think that some characters got done dirty?
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I agree.
I was annoyed that Starbuck and Lee, because I shipped them.
You shipped them, yeah. Totally.
I was like, you're both problematic and you both have baggage and issues, but like you're kind of good. Like you should be together.
Yeah. I think Rosalind shouldn't have died so quickly.
I know. As I said,
they should have given her more time, like to see that mountain that they were going to live on or something.
Yeah.
Like something like that. I don't know. But the ring. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
That was just like
heartbreaking. And the fact so that he's crying and like he's such a stoic man throughout the entire series. And you're like, oh, my
to
God.
See him break down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the performances overall in this episode, Melanie?
Oh, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Everybody's got so much depth to them, I guess, especially since it's like, you know, this is the ending. They've finally reached Earth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I understood, even though I didn't know, I understood that that was a really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always really nice to see.
Yeah.
When you can bring that much depth to something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. Acting wise. People got down dirty though.
And Mike, to answer your earlier question before we watch this, this was all filmed in Vancouver. And wow. British Columbia. It was a home turf thing.
Nice.
Yeah, this was because they used the Central Library, the Vancouver Public Central Library in downtown. That stood in a lot for Caprica and being on planets. So when I actually moved here in 2009, like, this, you know, the season had finished, and I still remember my first time seeing the Central Library and being like, oh my God, it's Caprica. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like geeking out completely because I loved the show so much.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So that's why, like, yeah, like Africa, that's BC that you're seeing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just love how much of a chameleon BC is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I think I remember I did, cause I worked in film and TV before I moved to BC, and I had looked at getting into it when I moved here, but it was going to be a lot of 18-hour days on location.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't see anybody. But I remember the one thing I did from the health and safety course I did was they talked about how there's 9 climates across the world and BC has 7 of them.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Which is why, yeah, because BC is so big. I think one of them is like, you know, permanent Arctic, where like we don't have that, obviously. And I can't remember what the other one is.
Desert?
No, because we've got the Okanagan.
Yeah, you got Kamloops. Oh,
the Okanagan, eh?
Yeah, so
my notes are done at this point.
How about you, Mike?
Pigeon? We talked about pigeon. It's pigeon with several question marks.
You're not the only person. There's Metafilter threads and everything online. And basically, Ron Moore is just like, I don't know. I just had the imagery of a bird flying into the light and that seemed appropriate. So there you go. It's symbolizing Starbuck going into the great beyond. I don't know.
So, Jen, what does Battlestar Galactica mean to you?
Yeah, I love this show. Even like I've been watching a few episodes here and there in the lead up to this, because it was funny, like you asked me if I wanted to do this and I've actually been meaning to rewatch all of Battlestar Galactica. I was like, you know what? It's been a while. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And it still holds up. It's still just so engrossing. And I love the characters. The other piece for me is, like I'd mentioned before, that like I love the 1978 version. I have really fond memories of watching it as a kid. We had the because it started with like a kind of movie, like it was an hour and a half long, like Battlestar Galactica. And then they made the series.
Mm-hmm.
And we had it on VHS and watched it over and over and over again. And I just loved it because it was kind of like Star Wars. Like, I think in my little kid brain, I mixed up the two for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very much that 70s aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And yeah, so I loved that show. I mean, as I said, I have like the collector's edition DVD set my brother got me for Christmas one year. And it's all shiny and it's like, oh, yeah. So I remember when I heard that they were remaking the show, I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. And then it was, yeah, the news of like, they're going to make Starbuck a woman. And it was like, oh, because in younger, earlier times of 1980s, you didn't really think about like how male characters might be problematic. And Starbuck was a complete ladies man who gambled and smoked cigars and kind of was almost like that James Bond type, like, yeah, I'll sleep with you, or like, we'll date. Yeah, whatever. Bye. Mm-hmm. And he's just a ladies man. And so the idea of a woman playing him, it was like, how are they going to do this? And then she came along, like Katie Sackhoff, and just knocked it out of the park. Like, she's so good as Starbuck. I can't see Starbuck as the other guy. Version anymore. Mm, like, yeah. She is, because she's so like hot-headed and like, yeah, in the first season, like she's drinking and she gets drunk and she plays cards and she makes rash decisions, and like she is that character, but it's a woman. And it's like, yep, you can have like strong, like well-written characters and they just happen to be a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that also was great.
So sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to put out some appreciation for her as an actress as well, because mm-hmm. a lot of the times when you get those strong female characters, the go-to that actors choose is to be like completely stoic.
Yeah.
As a woman, like you can't be strong and have emotions. And I feel like she had a really great balance of that, of like, I see that there is some vulnerability in her, mm-hmm. but I also see that there is this really strong side to her. And it's just a really nice balance and really, really, really great to see.
Yeah. And that was the thing. The female characters in this show were great. Like, and you had like, you know, President Roslin, you had Caprica 6, you had Boomer, you had Starbuck, you had Captor Duella, who is not in this season because she died earlier. You've Callie. Like, there was a full spectrum of female characters, and like, it worked. Like, they weren't, mm-hmm. you know, they all passed the Bechdel test.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, they're not just talking about the other male characters. They are. And then it's even playing with that when you have Baltar having Head 6 or Caprica 6, who's being all sexy in her red dress and manipulating him, and is like playing with that trope as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as I said, it was at the time, like 2004 to 2009, with everything that was going on in the world and, you know, racism coming up like lots of other isms that we could talk about. Like, this was an interesting exploration of those fears that everyone had, as you said, that you fear that the person who lives next door could be an outsider who is an enemy. And how do you cope with that? Mm-hmm. How do you keep finding your humanity instead and like not turn to that, like, you know, war on terror, like outsiders are bad and xenophobia and all of that kind of thing. So, yeah. And I think it just still holds up, as I said, watching episodes recently. And I'm like, yep. I still really like love this show, and it's got really cool space battles.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish we had seen more of that, but that's, I mean, again, it's the finale. It's my own fault.
I also appreciate, because a lot of sci-fi space battles, everything happens on a horizontal plane, you know, like the Enterprise meets a ship and they are in the same orientation. And I was like, no, in real world, we would all be like whichever way. There is no up and down in space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Battlestar Galactica does do that a bit in their space battles.
Nice. That's cool.
So, yeah, the special effects. I think they definitely won Emmys for special effects and I think sound editing as well.
Nice.
If you do ever want to just watch a really great episode, 33 from the first season is amazing, because it's basically the Galactica's being chased by the Cylons and the Cylons find them. Like, it takes 33 minutes and the Cylons reappear. And so it just keeps happening in these like short chunks as they're trying to outrun them, but they're running out of fuel. And what do they do?
Cool.
And it just is such a great little tense episode.
That's nice.
Pretty good. But yeah, that is Battlestar Galactica. And I think I have really fond memories of watching it with my dad, who is very much into sci-fi and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. So time to review. You know, it's interesting because I actually would rate it higher before our discussion, because I was like, kind of came out of this episode being like, what sort of stars in my eyes, be like, wow, this is really cool. And then you're like, yeah, but why would they fly their ships in the sun? I'm like, oh yeah, that is really dumb. and then why wouldn't they stay together? It's like, oh yeah, that's kind of dumb too. So now I have this thing where I like really enjoyed the episode because I wasn't really thinking about the details too much. And then we started talking about the details. So I was like,
I think that's, I'm really sorry. That is me. I have a very practical brain. And so like, I would just be like, no.
No, you're totally right though.
Like, yeah, you're totally right. Not only that, but it was stuff that I didn't notice in the episode because I didn't know what was happening. I was just like, oh, this is cool. All of a sudden they stick their fingers in the bathtub and everyone's shooting everyone. That's really exciting.
You mean you haven't played like last one who pulls their hand out of the bathtub gets shot before?
Yeah. I think I'll sort of meet the middle and sort of give it a definitive 8 fracking toasters out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I really liked, I mean, just the acting in this one episode was amazing. Totally worth the watch. I love sci-fi. Everything that happened was silly, but that's kind of just the level of sci-fi that I'm happy with, of everything being silly. The ending was kind of silly, like dumb, but like whatever, who cares? I've only seen one episode, so I can say that. I would give it like 7 sexier versions of all of us.
Ooh.
Out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah. I just like how they were well-dressed too. It was just like,
and they were like that the whole time.
I love it.
The whole time she's in that red dress, like being all sexy.
It's a good aesthetic. I'm pretty sure I've seen like her before and that red dress.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Oh wow.
I think I don't give it the full marks because I just feel that like some characters were done wrong.
Yeah. And done dirty.
Shouldn't have ended that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really fault like the job that it did. And it's the journey. It's the like the 4 seasons, the different things that they do and everything. It's really great television. And I think it ends up on like top 100 lists and everything quite regularly.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
For good reason.
I'm just curious, like we probably shouldn't go too much into this, but there was Caprica, which was a spinoff that got canceled. I believe after one season.
Yeah.
Like, did you want to just talk briefly about that?
Yeah, Caprica was a prequel. So it was meant to show how, you know, basically the humans went wrong and invented Cylons and how that happened and where it went from there. And I haven't finished that first season. I've started it like twice. I've gotten a bit further in the second time, but it's completely different actors.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a earlier, younger version of Adama in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to connect some families. And it just, again, the ideas are different, but it just didn't click.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it got canceled after one season.
Yeah.
And then there was also, they did little kind of webisodes, or mobisodes, I think they called them, that were in between. Because the fourth season, it was 4 and 4.5. It came out in two parts, which... Yeah, it was a pain because I remember like going and getting the DVDs and being like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And
with the failure of Caprica, like, does it make you wish that there was more Battlestar stuff happening? Or are you kind of like, okay, that this is the end?
I'm kind of okay this is the end. I have heard that they are thinking about rebooting it or redoing it again.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, 12 years? Since it ended.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I think the original season ended 81-ish, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's like 81 to 2004. That's 23 years. So it's a shorter gap. And I'm like, okay, what would you do? Like, how would you make it different?
Yeah.
Like, and why are you rebooting it? Like, what kind of new perspective are you going to try and do on things?
Because they reboot things.
Yeah. Especially since I feel like this one is more beloved than the last one was. It's like, do you want to try and like anger the fans by trying to do it again?
Yeah. And the thing is that, I mean, the special effects still kind of hold up. Like they're not the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that actually. Yeah. Like just the shots and the spaceships look really, really good for TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of very talented people working in their special effects department. I think I followed a couple of people's blogs at the time who did the special effects and renders and stuff. And it was really cool. Like there was a lot of very passionate people who worked on this show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if I would go back and watch this show. Maybe. I mean, like just hearing you talk about, like, there's one thing for certain is that I do feel like I could go more comfortably into playing the board game and understand the lore a lot better of what the board game is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to play the board game at some point because I everyone's told me that it's amazing.
I'll totally play it with you.
Yeah. The show itself, I'll put myself, as Daniel Lee would say, at a hard maybe.
Michael, are you sure that you like sci-fi?
No. Well, I feel like I prefer time travel over space exploration.
Ah.
That's kind of the main thing.
So you like sci-fi, but you like a subgenre of sci-fi.
Yeah, really. Yeah, kind of.
But I mean, this could kind of maybe be time travel because you think it's in the future, but it's actually 150,000 years
ago. Yeah, I mean, that's what I found very intriguing about this episode, actually, when I was watching. I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, do you like Doctor Who?
I do like Doctor Who.
Okay. Because I would have been very... Like, I would have been on your case even more if you were like, no, I don't like Doctor Who, because that fills in all the things. But that's fine. I would go back and watch this show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Just this one episode was enough to draw me in to wanting to see more of it. Where can I watch it? Prime?
Mm-hmm. Prime. Yeah. Yep.
Prime. Okay, cool.
It's all on there. And I think they've got the other little mini series and everything. But
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've watched all of season one. And I'm gonna go back and start like season two and just keep going because it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Jen, thank you so much for coming and confusing the crap out of me again.
Yeah.
this wasn't as bad as Lost though. Like Lost broke your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one for a few days afterwards, I was just like, what is anything? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I found interesting with this episode is there's a lot of like what's the deal with this? He's like, like, she disappeared, whatever. Like, yeah. Like, there's a lot of unanswered questions in this one. Was Lost at least tried to answer some stuff?
Okay. to be completely honest with you, when Starbuck disappeared, I just assumed she like ran away. I thought she was like ducking under a rock or something.
What, he's supposed to call out Marco and she's gonna be like,
maybe, I don't know. Like, maybe he just accepted the fact that she was running away from him and he was like, okay.
I'm just imagining the camera turns to just focus on him and she's like sprinting into the distance.
I didn't think that there was magic happening, okay? I just thought that she was hiding.
Just thought she was Batman.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said that. Really embarrassing.
Like the minus 150,000 hiding seek champion of the world.
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Dorval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Dorval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com.